How many got all your gifts taken care of? Raise your hand. Oh, we are so jealous. Two more days. Where are you shopping at? Target. Yeah. Macy's, huh? Big Five. All right. 99-cent store. All right. I want to talk to you all today. I want to talk to you about gifts today. How many will get something for Christmas? Someone can give you something. Here's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to preach for very long today. Oh, I'll give you another opportunity. I'm not going to preach for very long today. All right. But I do want to share with you. Here's all I'm going to do. I'm going to share with you three Christmas stories, and then I'm going to wrap it up in sharing with you what those three stories have in common. Because at first glance, you might not understand what they have in common. But they have a lot in common. The first story I want to tell you is about last Christmas. And last Christmas was a very special Christmas for me because I got some very, very special gifts from my kids. And one of the first gifts that I got was a wallet from Megan. And you say, well, that's not a big deal. Well, it was a big deal to me because just maybe 2 weeks before, I had a really, really nice wallet. And you know what? They stole it out of my car with all my stuff in it. And it was just really, really, whatever. It was emotional for me. I was like so irritated. And I was so irritated because, you know what? I always, well, not always, but almost always, make sure that, you know what, the car is locked before I leave, you know what I mean? And that night, I had a bunch of stuff that I needed to carry in, and I carried it all in, and I left it unlocked, and I knew I was going to come back, and I forgot to come back. And they opened it up, saw the wallet there, took the wallet, and you know what, I was just like so mad at myself. Well, when Megan got me, and it's a nice wallet, but when she got me that wallet, it just really comforted me. I was like, oh, this is nice. And it was just a really nice, thoughtful gift. My son, Tyler, got me a very, very nice watch. And it was just a really nice watch, period. But on the back of it, he had engraved something very special. I'll try not to get too emotional, but very special. He told me he loved me, and he talked about what a great Christian example I was to him. And so just a phenomenal gift. And then Shayla gave me a really, really nice silver bracelet. It just beautiful. But again, what was really special about the gift is she wrote something on it. She wrote something on it that we had said to each other when she was really little. And so it just was a really, really cool gift. So how many know you can get some really cool gifts?
Yeah.
But how many know... You can get some kind of dorky gifts too. Come on, somebody here. And I remember one time, I still laugh at it. So my mom we'd go over to Grandpa Walt's, and our cousins would be there, and we would have gifts for our cousins. And my mom, who was a sewer, she got some of this terry cloth, like towel material, and she you know, hemmed it, and she put some Velcro on it, and she gave it. What it was for is, like, when you get out of the shower, you know what, you had this real cool thing, and you could just Velcro it on. It was actually kind of a cool, yeah, exactly. Well, it was a really cool gift. Well, my cousin, who's kind of got a great sense of humor anyway, and Steve opens it, and he looks at it, and he's not sure what it is. And my mom, and he's kind of looking kind of weird at my mom, and my mom's like, no, it's for, you know what? My mom explains it to him, and he says, oh, so you got me a skirt. And I can still see him saying that. Steve's really funny. But she, how many know you get some gifts, and you're like, oh, okay, you know what I mean? And listen, any gift that you get needs to be received. You know what, hey, they got you something. Does that make sense? But how many know some gifts are different than other gifts? And let me give you a for instance. And gifts have value in many ways, but predominantly two ways they have value. One, in the value of how much it's going to cost the person who bought that gift. And the other, how much it's going to mean to the person who receives that gift. Let me illustrate. If you got me a $20 gift card at In-N-Out, how many know I would be happy? You know what I mean? You're going to get it. How many are going to be happy? You're like, hey, this, how many, you're going to be like, this is cool. If you gave me a chest with $1 million in it, how many know that's going to be a different kind of gift? Right, you know what I mean? I mean, you know what, A or B, you know what I mean? I pick B, you know? So, how many know that's way better? Okay, so why is it? Here's why, because the chest with $1 million cost that giver a lot more money. It cost them a lot more to give you that gift. And, number one, and number two, that gift that you receive, you know what, is going to have a greater impact than that $20 gift certificate for In-N-Out. Does this make sense? All right. My first story. My second story is when I worked at Albertsons. Now, let me tell you something. Albertsons, to work in a grocery store is very, very interesting. But to work at a grocery store in the Christmas season is really interesting. And I remember Thanksgiving Day, these guys coming in buying a frozen turkey. How many know a frozen turkey on Thanksgiving Day is way too late? You're like, they're like, no, dude, you know what? I'm going to cut it in half and shove it in the microwave. It'll work. Like, my wife told me to do this 3 weeks ago, and I forgot. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm like, listen, go to the lunch meats place and get a bunch of turkey and form it as you may. but I'm telling you what, but Christmas in the grocery store was so interesting and actually really, really cool in that everyone was off for Christmas because we were closed Christmas. That was awesome. Everyone had to work Christmas Eve. And usually in the grocery store, they never gave us enough help. There was always, you're always way too much work and way little time to do the work. But Christmas Eve was different. There was always a lot of people there, and it was really, actually really cool. We could take like a half an hour break. There was food in the break room. Everybody, and watch this. And as it got later and later in the day, even though, how many know people get stressed out around Christmas time? But even as stressed out as they were, there was this sense of joy as everyone's coming in, because you know what they're buying? They're buying stuff for Christmas. They're buying the turkey and the ham, and so there was this, just even in the busyness and stressfulness of making sure you had everything right, there was still this sense of joy. And it seemed like, and the store would close at 6 o'clock, which was really cool. And the later it got, the more people anticipated going home and being with their families. And people were just saying, Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas. And it was just a real special time. It really wasn't one Christmas. It was several Christmases. But the same thing happened. And would close at 6 o'clock, would spend just an hour trying to clean up, count out our registers, and we got to go home. I worked in Monrovia, and I lived in San Gabriel. So some of the drive home was on the freeway, but much of the drive home was through residential neighborhoods. And as I would drive home through those residential neighborhoods, I'd see something that was striking to me. It was these Christmas lights on the homes of all kinds of families as I'm driving through these neighborhoods. And you know how it is. Some houses are all color coordinated and they look just really, really nice. And then some of the homes are just like hodgepodge, you know what, reindeer and, you know, I mean, just all kinds of different stuff. But as I was driving home, it was striking to me because I knew these people were celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me. That's what I knew. And I knew maybe some of them didn't know it, didn't even know what they were celebrating. You know what? They got Snoopy and you know what, and reindeer and Santa Claus and all this stuff. They don't even really know what they're doing, but they're celebrating. And I know what they're celebrating. They're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Listen, you can't even get a calendar out. You know how we mark time? You know how everyone marks time? Here's how they mark time. Before Christ and after Christ. That's how they mark time. AD stands for a Greek word, and it means in the year of our Lord. So here's what they did. When Jesus Christ was one, you know what they said? They said, whatever the date. They said it was July 23rd, 1. You know why? Because Jesus had been there for 1 year, and then 2 years, and then 3 years. It is, you know what, the year of our Lord. 2000, we're going to go 2020. What's that mean? It's been roughly 2,020 years since Jesus Christ was born. See, people don't know that, but the reality is you can't even write a check that you're not declaring that Christ is real and he came to this earth. Now, I'm going to tell you, and so as I drove home, here's what I recognized. I recognized that these people, and it was striking to me, because as I was driving home, I thought, man, some of these people know they're celebrating the birth of Christ. Some of the people, they don't know. But they're still out there on December 10th putting up lights to celebrate Jesus' birthday. I thought, this is amazing. All right, let me tell you one more Christmas story. Okay, and before I tell you this Christmas story, I want you to watch this video.
Manuel.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, and I'll start with the seventh verse. If you have your Bibles, you can follow with me. If not, you can follow with us on the screen. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel, listen to this, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on this earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem." So, a story that we kind of know, for most of us, we understand this. But I want to just take a little bit of time in throwing out some details that you might not understand. These shepherds, they were really seen in that time as the low of the low. They were they were just on the very, very bottom. Matter of fact, if they were, if there was a court case, they couldn't even testify in the court because they were so low and so despised. They thought they were such despicable people that they couldn't even tell the truth in a courtroom. And so if you were a shepherd, you couldn't even go to court and say what you saw because you were so not valued. Wow. It's interesting to me, listen to me, that God, out of all the people that he could have selected to see Jesus, and you've got to understand that the shepherds were the very first to see Jesus. I mean, besides, Joseph and his mom and the cows and the whatever, hens and the chickens, it was the shepherds. And God says, "Here's what I pick. I pick you guys." You know, let me tell you about God. God is not looking at using you because you're so smart or you're so pretty or you went to some certain school or you make so much money or any of that. Let me tell you about God. The Bible says the first shall be last and the last, come on somebody help me preach this, and the last shall be what? Shall be first. You know, sometimes, how many are old enough to remember the Christmas story, the one Christmas story where they had the island for misfit toys? How many are old enough to remember? Raise your hand if you know exactly. Okay. I don't know about you. Sometimes I feel like God got me from the island of misfit toys, somebody. Does somebody else feel that way? And yet, this is in our Bible on purpose that God says, "Let me tell you what. Let me tell you who I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick the low of the low." Because let me tell you what, in my eyes, I don't see it the way other people see it. You know what? I don't look at the outside. I look at the inside. Can somebody get excited with me? The other thing that strikes me, actually, there are several things that I want to point out about the shepherds. But another thing that strike me is look at verse 11. Guys, in the back, go to verse 11. For there is born to you this day, this is what the angel says, in the city of David, you know what, who is Christ our Lord? This will be a sign to you. And you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I'm sorry, go back to verse 10. And the angel said to him, do not be afraid, for behold, I will bring good tidings of great joy, watch this, which will be to who?
All people.
To all people. Here's what strikes me too. God is given to everyone. See, there's some people and they think, well, our group is better than this. Our group is better than your group. And then there's other people who say, no, our group is better than your group. And we live in a country and there's such animosity now towards this group, towards another group. And here's what all the groups kind of are saying. They're saying, we're better than you. Us people over here, and you're over there, and we are superior to you. But God says, let me tell you what. No, I don't see it like that. Here's how I see it. I see it that, I'm getting ahead of myself, that all of you need help. All of you need help. Look what he says. Then an angel of God said, do not be afraid, for behold, that behold means check it out. Look, I want you to understand this. I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. What is God saying? He's saying, let me tell you what, I'm giving Jesus to everyone. Anyone who's humble enough to recognize that they need a Savior, that's who I'm going to give it to. Watch this. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, what?
Savior.
A Savior. A Savior. You know why God has given us a Savior? Because we need saving. Come on, somebody. Listen, and here's what we don't understand, because we don't come from, most of us, we don't come from a Jewish culture. But these guys were all Jewish, and they understood. Let me talk to you about back then in this region. In this region, it wasn't like it is now in Israel, where there's a lot of very religious people, a lot of very spiritual people, but there's a lot of very unspiritual people. A lot of secular people, a lot of people who don't believe that God exists, or they're not sure, and they're not going to church, and they're not serving God. Listen, back then it wasn't like that. These men knew about the Old Testament prophecies that were given over and over and over and over again. Now, let me go back in time a little bit to the very, very beginning. In the very beginning was Adam and Eve. And God said, you can eat. Imagine this. Sometimes, how many know sometimes God gets a bad rap?
Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you what he said about Adam and Eve. He said, see all these trees over here, all these fruit trees over here? You can eat all of them. Yeah. Any of the fruit, all day long, you can eat of those trees. And see all these trees back here? You can eat all of the trees back here. All of these trees back here. You can eat, and they're yours. And see all these trees over here? You can eat any of the fruit from any of these trees. But there's this tree over here, and of that tree, I don't want you to eat of. Now, I know none of y'all can relate to this story. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you know what? What he's going to say, you're going to have no understanding about. But then he says this. He says, but see this tree right here? This tree right here, that tree, I don't want you to eat at. And guess what tree they ate at? They can have all this over here. They can have all this over here. All this over here. All this over here. All this over here. But guess what tree they end up on? I know no one understands even what I'm saying right now. Pastor, I don't even know why you're saying that. And when they disobeyed God, you know what? Sin came into the world. And when sin came into the world, you know what? It separated us from God. Because let me tell you about God. God is a holy God. Let me say this. God, let me just testify. Listen, God is real. He had a real son. His name was Jesus. He really was born of a virgin. This really happened. Amen. It's so interesting to me because all these people just, you know what, just want to, listen, let me tell you something. If you want to not believe something that is real, how many know you cannot believe something that's real? One time, I was about to go in the shower, and my wife, my lovely little wife, looking fine today. My lovely wife, I'm about to go in the shower. She says, "Hey, Drew, let me help you." I said, What do you want to help me? She said, "There's some gray hairs you have in the back of your head. I want to just get all those gray hairs off." True story. I said, "There's no gray hairs in the back of my head." She's looking at them. And she says, "Yeah, you got a bunch of them right back here. I'm gonna help shave off." I said, "Honey, I don't have gray hairs in the back of my head." How many know you can believe whatever you want to believe? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Over all the proofs of God. Listen, this is, you just start to do the research in science. And start to figure, when you start to figure out how big the world is, when you start to figure out how almost virtually impossible it would be that we're even on this earth breathing. Literally, all these billions of things have to line up. Here, let me give you just an example. The sun, if it was just a little degree closer to us, what would be all? You know, you ever get those French fries that they leave them in too long? Like, man, why did they're too? You know what I mean? That's what we'd be. We'd be like, hello. Right? Is this not true? If we were just a fraction away farther from the sin, what would we be?
We'd be cool.
We'd be like, what's up? I can't move right now. That's what's up. This is true. I could go on and on with give you all these examples. There are millions of them, and put it just perfect. You know what? And the world wants to tell you, no, all that was just coincidence. No, let me tell you the truth. It's going to have to take an act of your will for you to say that God doesn't exist. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about, you know what, how men will, listen, this is New King James Version, will suppress the truth. Let me tell you about God. He's real. Adam and Eve were real. They separated themselves from God by their will, not God's will. By their will, not God's will. By their will and not God's will. And God said, "I can't handle that because I love you so much." When Tamara and I were dating, I'm going to date us a little bit, but when we were dating, I had a pager. How many remember pagers? You know what? And she would page me a certain, because, you know, you couldn't text, you know what I mean? You had to be clever, you know? So she would text me, she would page me a certain code. And that meant, you know what, I'm thinking about you, I want to be with you, I love you. It meant all that. And when I would see that code, I would start singing. Pastor, what would you start singing? I'd start singing, ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no wide enough. Okay, now let me tell you what. My love for Tamara, although it is great, is not a fraction of what God's love is for us. And so, he says, you know what? I got to send Jesus. I can't not do this. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Now, let's go back to the shepherds for a minute. Okay? You guys ready to sing? You guys ready to bless it? You want to sing? It's going to be awesome. We can hardly wait. Guys in the back, you're going to have their mics all ready to go. But let me teach you one more thing. These men before this in the Jewish culture, God wanted them to be preparing for Jesus Christ. Sin, let me tell you about sin. Sin, let me tell you about sin. Sin will separate you from God. Yes. Period. And you don't know it now because now we're in what's called, fancy word, just means period of time. We're in the dispensation of grace. So right now, you're like chill. You're like, man, you know what? You do whatever you want. Reject God. Ignore God. Live your life, against what God has told you. And let me just say this as far as you need to understand. God's principles are only for your protection. Satan only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he's about. He's all about ruining your life. That's what he's about. So God says, here's what I'm going to do. I just can't live without these people. So he wants people to understand sin's a big deal. So in the Jewish culture, God ordains or institutes a covering for their sin. And the covering for their sin was that these animals would be sacrificed. Now, I don't have time to go into all the different animal sacrifices that the Jewish people had and all what they mean, but I'll just tell you one. It was called the burnt offering. And in the burnt offering, it was done, watch this, every morning and every night. And the burnt offering, the animal would come. Listen, it's so interesting. The animal would come, and a man would have to lay his hands on the head of the animal. And what is he doing? He is signifying that this animal, that the transfer of all his sin is going to go from him into that animal, and now that animal is going to die because of that sin. See, we think sin's no big deal. Well, it's just because we're in a period of grace. But when you disconnect from your body, sin is going to be a big deal. Sin is going to be a big deal. And so they do these animal sacrifices. Let me go back to the shepherds. These shepherds had seen this over and over. They're Jewish men who've been part of seeing thousands of animals being sacrificed. And they know the scriptures. And the scripture says that there's this one coming. He's going to come to Bethlehem. He's going to be born of a virgin. And that one is going to be, listen, John the Baptist said it when he saw Jesus. He said, whoa, no, this isn't, behold the Lamb of God. Amen. The Lamb of God. Hebrews says this, that all these animals were just a foreshadow of Jesus. And even in Hebrews, it says, chapter 10, it says that you know what? These animals couldn't take away the sin. But there was going to be Jesus. And in that passage, Jesus says, I will do the will of God. David prophetically is talking about Jesus, and Jesus says, I will do the will of God. Listen, why are the angels rejoicing? Why is there one angel, and then in about 30 seconds, there's a whole host of angels, you know what, a multitude of angels, and they're crying out, you know what, saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Why? Because Jesus is going to come. And he's going to put all his sin, all our sin upon him. And then he's going to go to the cross. Let me tell you what. I appreciated the three gifts that I got last year. One of my favorite gifts that I've ever gotten for Christmas was a guitar given to me by my wife. And I didn't have a guitar this nice. A lot of the interns at the church I worked at, they had nice guitars. I didn't have a nice guitar. And Tamara, we were working as apartment managers, and she bid for this job to resurface these cabinets in a kitchen. Have you ever sanded kitchen cabinets down? Oh, my goodness. And she way underbid that price, and she was working and working and working and working, and she finally got the money, and guess what? She spent that money on me. You know what? I still have that guitar, and I still have that case. But can I tell you what? That guitar and that case and that bracelet and that watch and that wallet didn't change my life forever. And even though it cost them all dearly, it didn't cost them nearly what it cost our Father. Yeah. The best gift that we've been given is Jesus Christ. And if you and I will just start to say, I need God more in my life, then we will start to be blessed with all his blessings. Because let me tell you about God. God isn't trying to keep blessings from you. He's trying to get blessings to you. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you say, Pastor, you know what? I want to accept Jesus in my heart. We're not going to take a long time. It's just going to be a short time. But if you want to do that, I want you to raise your hand right now. We're going to say a simple prayer. We're not going to ask you to come on up front. Yes, hands up all over. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there anybody else? Anyone else? Can you say this with me? Can you say, Jesus, come to my heart. I need your help. I've been running my own life too long. I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want you to make the decisions. I'm going to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Happy birthday for those of you who you got born again right now. Jesus came in your heart. Start to come to church. Listen, church won't save you, but church will help you to learn more about God. One more thing I want to pray. If somebody said, you know, Pastor, you said some things and God is stirring some things in my heart and I just don't want to leave without confessing, I need more of God in my life. If that's you, you know what? I want you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you. I want you to confess, man, I just need more of God. There's something about confessing, you know what, that just God loves. Father, you see the hands that are up and my hands up. I say, God, I want more of you next year. And Father, I thank you that, you know what, you said, if I ask, you'll give. So I pray that all these people would be more dependent upon you, more focused on you, that they will make a conscious decision to do whatever it takes to put God first place in their life. Somebody say, first place. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. I'm glad you came today. Okay. Come on up front and bless us. Amen. So just come right on up here. You're our guest. It's so good to see you. What's your name?
I'm Elsa.
Elsa, nice to meet you. What's your name?
Kian.
Nice to meet you.
Lizzie.
Can you guys just sing some beautiful? I've heard that you have beautiful voices. Can you just bless us if you would?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, you may.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy Sunday, everyone. Merry Christmas. Hello. We are the Rock and Write Dear Review from Jira Alvarez Productions, and we would love to bless you with some carols this morning. So these are handy-dandy pitch pipes to make sure we're all in tune, and we're going to start out with some What Child Is This?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. What glories they mean, such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding. Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense and gold and myrrh, come peasanting to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary sword rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices on night divine. Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. Oh, night
as we have heard on high, singing sweetly through the night, and the mountains in reply, echoing their brave delight. Excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why these songs of happy cheer? What great brightness did you see? What glad tidings did you hear? Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Oh, that was outstanding. Now, if you could all be seated now, I'm going to sing a song a cappella. They're encourageable, you know that?
I just want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Thank you for being with us on this Christmas Sunday. And as Pastor was talking about the shepherds, we were talking about this earlier this week. Shayla went to Israel, I think it was last year. And everyone always tells us, man, you have to go to Israel. You have to go to Israel. It'll just bring your Bible alive. But I love watching, I was watching a documentary on Bethlehem, and I was talking actually with Laura this week, and Shayla had gone to Israel, and she shared a lot of stuff for her, just that you go to these same places where Jesus went. So in this documentary in Bethlehem, as you were talking about these shepherds, I found it fascinating that the place where baby Jesus was born, it was actually in a cave. They've built a church right on top of that now, and the church is shared by three different religious groups. But you go into the church, they've got the door of the church. Pastor Paul, you're going to love this because you have to duck for everything. But the door of the church is like this low. And you have to duck to get into the church. And they call that, they've built it that way. They call it the door of humility. That you humble yourself before you're coming in to worship the Lord. So there's just a lot of, and I thought about you. I thought, wow, he ducks for everything. Humble yourself every door, Pastor Paul. So, but for those of us, we have to go to the door of humility if we're going to duck. You know what? But we can be humble, amen, without being at the door. So, but I love that significance too. And, but in this cave, and it was an actual cave, that is the same place where sacrificial lambs were raised for these sacrifices that Pastor Drew just talked about. And the shepherds that were chosen to come and see the baby Jesus, they weren't just shepherds that raised, you know, the livestock. They were specific shepherds. They referred to them as the Levitical shepherds. And they referred to the Levitical shepherds because these Levitical shepherds would specifically take care of the lambs that were perfect for the sacrifice. Only certain lambs were able to be sacrificed for the sacrificial lambs because they had to be perfect. And then they would take these lambs and they would wrap the lambs in swaddling cloth to protect them. So as a Levitical shepherd is told to go to a place, and then the scripture tells us, and it'll be a sign to you. A sign of what? A sign that this was the Messiah. This is the one. And so they go to this same place where sacrificial lambs are born, and this baby has been born there. And then they walk in and they see this baby, and this baby is wrapped in swaddling cloth like the sacrificial lambs would be to protect it. Isn't that amazing? So it is, there's a documentary called Battle in Bethlehem. It's just, it's so, I love, Pastor Drew and I were talking a couple of weeks ago and I said, you know, it's so important because we come weekly and we love the Lord daily. And I hope moment by moment. But we can kind of forget that this isn't, so many people think, oh, church is a crutch for people who need a crutch, and there's just so much yah-yah out there. But you know what? This is history. You know, you can go to the very place in that cave where a real child was born. A real mother and a real father. This is history that took place. And it took place for you and me. It is God's redemption plan. It is so important that we don't forget how real this all really is. Because I think you referenced it. There will be a moment. You know what? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know what? Every one of us will die one day. And when we die, immediately our spirit, our body will die. But our spirit will immediately, you know what, be before the Lord. So we need to remember how real this is. Amen? Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. Love you guys.
We're going to do a couple things before we dismiss, but the one thing I want to do is just bless you, Father. I thank you these people have come today, and you know what they're going through. You know what they need. Father, we thank you. I just call them blessed. I call them healed. I call them that 2020, as they are obedient to you, would just be their best year ever. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. We're just going to do this.
Christmas sometimes has, for many of us, Christmas is a great time. There's years that Christmas isn't such a good time, right? There's all kinds of stuff. And as everyone's celebrating, sometimes some of us think we have nothing to celebrate. But every one of us, if we'll just keep our heart right and our perspective right, you know, we forget sometimes. You know, we can get caught up in a situation and forget all that we have because we focus on what we don't have. I was talking with my baby brother this week, and he's been through so much physically, medically, you know what, with his health. And he was sharing with me and my mother, he said, because if you met my baby brother, his attitude is joy. He's turned on joy, like, all the time. And he's been through so much. And every day, he's not on joy all the time because every day in his life is just a perfect day. He's just one of those people that just gets to have a perfect day every day. That's not the case, as it isn't for you or I. But he said to me and my mom, he said, do you know what really changed my attitude and why I am the way I am? And I said, by all means, share your wisdom. And he said, now, I remember this. Every year, my brother would catch pneumonia. And every year, he would end up in Wisconsin hospitalized with pneumonia. And he's had transplants and all that, just too much. So he said, I remember one year as I was taken to the hospital. And I was, having a pity party, like, this, my life, this is bad, this sucks, everything is bad, why is it like this, on and on and on. And he said, but I walked in, and there was this little boy at the hospital. He had no limbs, he was a quadriplegic, and he was there, I think, getting a transplant. And he said he was five or 7 years old, he was young. And he said, and when I saw him, and he was joyful, and he said, I just became very ashamed that I was feeling the way I was feeling. Because compared to him, I had so much. So let me just leave you with, you know what, and that's our choice. No one can do that for you.
Right.
We must get a hold of our thoughts like the Bible tells us to. And grab hold of our heart and make sure that we stay a grateful people. And I promise you, you've got something to be grateful, even in the midst of whatever is happening in your life. Everybody goes through stuff, and we go through it at different times. But will you make a decision this Christmas to keep your heart right, to keep your mind right, by focusing on that which is and not that which isn't? Amen? Amen. We love you. I'll dismiss you with that. God bless you.
Thanks.